She felt his hand go around the back of her neck, resting lightly on the nape. His fingers were soft, gentle. She concentrated on his voice, knew that what was being said was important, that she had to listen.
"You gonna leave?" the man asked Lena. "Or do you want to stay put and hear what I have to say?"
Lena had turned away from them, maybe had her hand on the door handle. She turned back now, saying, "Tell me."
"If I had wanted to kill you,"
he began,
"you would already be dead. You know that."
"Yes."
"Your friend here."
He said something else, but his words were jumbled together so that by the time they reached her ears, they meant nothing. She could only look at Lena and judge from the other woman's reaction what her own should be. Fear. She should be afraid.
"Don't hurt her," Lena begged. "She's got children. Her husband."
"Yeah, it's sad. But you make your choices."
"You call that a choice?"
Lena snapped. There was more, but all that came across was terror. The exchange continued, then she felt a sudden chill come over her. A familiar odor filled the car, heavy, pungent. She knew what it was. She'd smelled it before, but her mind could not tell her when or where. The door opened. The man slid out of the car and stood there looking at her. He did not look sad or upset. He looked resigned. She had seen that look before. She knew him, knew the cold eyes behind the mask, the wet lips. She had known him all of her life. What was the smell? She should remember this smell. He murmured a few words. Something flashed in his hand, a silver cigarette lighter. She understood now. Panic sent a flood of adrenaline to her brain, cutting through the fog, slashing right to her heart. Lighter fluid. The cup had contained lighter fluid. He had poured it all over her body. She was soaked, dripping in it.
"No!"
Lena screamed, lunging, fingers splayed. The lighter dropped onto her lap, the flame igniting the liquid burning her clothes. There was a horrible keening. It was coming from her own throat as she sat helplessly watching the flames lick up her body. Her arms jerked up, her toes and feet curled in like a baby's. She thought again of that long-ago trip to Florida, the exhausting heat, the sharp, unbearable rip of pain as her flesh cooked to the seat. Monday afternoon, Chapter 1. Sarah Linton looked at her watch. The Seiko had been a gift from her grandmother on the day Sarah graduated from high school. On Granny M's own graduation day, she had been 4 months from marriage, a year and a half from bearing the first of her 6 children, and 38 years from losing her husband to cancer. Higher education was something Emma's father had seen as a waste of time and money, especially for a woman. Emma had not argued. She was raised during a time when children did not think to disagree with their parents, though she made sure that all 4 of her surviving children attended college.
"Wear this and think of me,"
Granny M had said that day on the school campus as she closed the watch's silver bracelet around Sarah's wrist.
"You're going to do everything you ever dreamed of, and I want you to know that I will always be right there beside you."
As a student at Emory University, Sarah had constantly looked at the watch, especially through advanced biochemistry, applied genetics, and human anatomy classes that seemed by law to be taught by the most boring monosyllabic professors that could be found. In medical school, she had impatiently glanced at the watch on Saturday mornings as she stood outside the lab, waiting for the professor to come and unlock the door so she could finish her experiments. During her internship at Grady Hospital, she had stared blurry-eyed at its white face, trying to make out the hands, as she calculated how much longer she had left in 36-hour shifts. At the Hartsdale Children's Clinic, she had closely followed the second hand as she pressed her fingers to a child's thin wrist, counting the beats of his heart as they ticked beneath his skin, seeking to discern if an achy all over was a serious ailment, or if it just meant the kid did not want to go to school that day. For almost 20 years, Sarah had worn the watch. The crystal had been replaced 2 times, the battery numerous times, and the bracelet 1 because Sarah could not stomach the thought of cleaning out the dried blood of a woman who had died in her arms. Even at Granny